Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and joining me, as always, is the other host of Indie Waters, Zach Batista. Zach, how you doing, my man?
It's fucking cold outside, man.
Yeah, it is.
I'm in my room, and I'm just cranking my heater now, because I was sitting here, just re-looking over the matches before we did this, and I was like, man, it is really cold. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, I went to the store before. I was wearing a jacket, a flannel, and a shirt underneath, and I was still cold.
Oh, my God.
I was like, damn, yo. What happened? Winter came at us with a vengeance.
Oh, God. I remember, like, during this week, I was running, and, like, a gust of wind hit me in the face. I was like, oh, yeah, that's New Jersey winter. There's the
thing. Oh, God, oh, no.
I'll say this to everyone. If there's anything that'll make me hate winter weather more, it's the wind. I can sit and chill, like, cool weather, and I'll be fine. But the moment the wind hits me in the face, I'm like, okay, you can get out now. I'm like, we're here a bit.
The wind is easily the worst part. It's just, it makes it so much worse.
Who likes being punched in the face by cold-ass air?
No one. Nobody does.
No one.
It's just like you walk outside and you're like, oh, God.
It's just like, oh, God, why?
Yeah. All right. I don't have a good transition here. why don't we get right into it? Zach, what was your first match of the week? Actually, who started off? Let's see.
I'm trying to remember here. So, I believe I went first because I had the Ring of Honor match that I got lost midway through it and then regained my balance, if I recall correctly.
Right. All right. I'll kick us off then, if you started last week. I'll kick us off with a match from Women's Wrestling Revolution. We got Rachel Ellering taking on Skylar.
Oh, thank God. Oh, no, you don't even know. I had a match from that promotion, too, and I thought you were going to say my match. I was...
there was a lot of matches from that promotion.
Oh, God, I literally was like you that 1 week where I was like, oh, God, if he picks this match, oh, boy.
We have come close to picking the same match before my accident.
Close. All right, continue now.
All right, so I got Rachel Ellering versus Skylar. This match is great. I was pretty surprised. I don't think I've heard of Rachel Ellering a little bit. Mm-hmm. I've never seen like a Rachel Ellering match, but I've heard the name. So I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Let's check this one out. And it was pretty good. These two had some great, solid chain wrestling to start off with. A lot of reversals, a lot of back and forth in the beginning.
Yeah.
Really, really good, technical show in the beginning.
Makes sense.
Ellering, however, takes control of this match basically the whole time. Skylar, keeps trying to get bursts of offense in, but just cannot. No matter what Skylar does, Ellering is just there with a counter for it.
Gotcha.
There's one point where Skylar's on the ground and she's throwing forearms at Ellering, and Ellering is just no-selling them. And then Skylar stands up, and Ellering just rocks her with a forearm and knocks her off balance.
Ooh.
There was finally a point where it looked like Skylar was going to take control, where she hulked up a little bit after taking a hit, and then they end up hitting a double clothesline. Which knocks them both out. But Skylar is the first to her feet, and she starts getting some offense in finally.
Nice.
But then, of course, Ellering reverses it again. Mm. She Skylar finally starts getting in like some speedy moves, very high flying, like zipping around the ring, very Lucha-esque, right?
All
right,
right? I'm down.
Then there is a point where she goes to the corner, and as she's going to run out of the corner, Ellering catches her with an STO, and then catches her with an STO, drops her, and hops up on the turnbuckle and does like a spinning leg drop.
Oh yes, I think I actually recall her. I think that's like a, I know it's a signature move of hers, if I recall correctly. Continue.
Yeah. So she hits that spinning leg drop and once again takes control of the match. She gets she goes to get Skylar into submission, but Skylar ends up getting a cool submission in where she's upside down, on her head, and she has like a chin lock in.
Ooh.
On Ellering. And Ellering like desperately crawls and like gets like a toe on the rope. And gets a rope break. It was so close. I thought it was gonna be like a I thought Skylar was gonna reverse and just be get like a tap out win out of nowhere.
Mm.
But like I said, Ellering does manage to escape and make it to the ropes. Then after that, Skylar hits a huge Meteora, which Ellering then kicks out of the pin for, which was crazy. I didn't expect that. She was literally on the top rope, and she got, like, mad air and hit, like, a big Meteora. Ooh. And I was like, whoa, this one's over. And then it wasn't. And I was like, dang, that's cool. There's one point where they're running the ropes, and Skylar gets she hits, like, one of her big finishing moves. There was one point where Rachel Ellering ends up locking in like a Fujiwara on Skylar.
Okay.
And then Skylar gets out of it. They hit a big move. Ellering hits a big move on Skylar after she escapes, goes for the pin, and then as she's going for the pin, she gets to two. Skylar then reverses the pin into her own pin.
Ooh.
Rolls up, gets a really tight cover, and gets the 1-2-3 out of nowhere.
Oh, dang.
Getting a victory over Ellering. It was a pretty good match. It was, like I said, it was a lot of Ellering taking control, but in the end, Skylar just outfoxed her a little bit, you know?
Fair enough.
Even, like commentary was basically playing up the whole time. They're just like, yeah, I don't know how Skylar's gonna get out of this one. Ellering's been pretty in control this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Skylar just got like that really quick, really sneaky roll up and ended up winning the match.
Nice.
And the announcers were like, "Oh man, Ellering must be disappointed with that one. She basically had it in the bag." I'm like, "Damn, yeah, just keep rubbing salt
just
in the
rub
wound,
that
huh?
in her face.
Just rub it right in there." Anyway. This match was good. I liked it. It was like not super exciting, but it was kind of cool. Like there was some good parts. I give it a meh. It was good.
Fair enough.
Definitely not unwatchable. Definitely interesting. Definitely not a waste of time.
That's always what you look forward to for a match. As long as it's not a waste of time.
It was solid. I give it a meh. Go check it out. It is Rachel Ellering taking on Skylar from Women's Wrestling Revolution.
Nice.
All right, Zach, why don't we get into your first match of the day?
All right, so I was going to do my Women's Revolution wrestling match, but instead, I'm going to go with another match that I decided to pick because it is more of a topical pick.
Okay.
So, for the context here, for those of you that keep up with mainstream WWE, though it's not happening now, at one point in time, there was a chance we were going to get Roman Reigns versus Adam
versus
Pearce.
Adam Rose. No, Adam versus Pearce. Adam Pearce, yes, I remember this.
And I was one of the people who was actually quite excited for the idea. I was like, oh, damn, like, this could be a pretty good match, I think, because I'd heard, you know, good things about Adam Pearce. And then, as we all know, like, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, that did not become a thing. It is now Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns, which I'm excited to watch.
Yes,
irregardless.
That I saw, yeah. I don't watch WWE much, but I saw that clip on Reddit of Pierce getting Roman Reigns to sign the contract.
Yep.
And then like walking up to the ramp and being like, oh, I'm not gonna be in this match. I'm prone to injury. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch an Adam Pearce match. I heard he had a great run. And I ended up picking, on his YouTube channel that I found this, Adam Pearce versus
Adam
Page.
He has his own YouTube channel? That rules.
At Ring of Honor. It is. It's kind of like, it's like Matt Tremont. It's like a wrestler that like posts like videos of like their matches that they put up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha.
So first things first about this match. This was his last match in Ring of Honor. And the camera quality for this match is not the best, not because of the actual filming, but more so the fact that it looks like he like just recorded it off of a TV screen. Get what it might be?
Yeah, I hate
so,
that.
It's not too bad. I watched the whole thing. So I literally watched it just for that and that alone. And I have to say I was not disappointed with this match at all.
Okay. So let's hear about it.
All right, so this match, the story for this match going into it is that this faction at the time of Ring of Honor, because I didn't watch mainstream, I didn't watch Ring of Honor during this time, which I assume was its heyday because of mm-hmm. the people that are in this faction, or one of the members at least. They're called the Decade, and they're basically, they set this match up between Adam Pearce and a young, super, much less experienced Adam Page.
Sad, not what? Millennial yet, cowboy.
Yes, exactly. Like, I saw Adam Page, and I was sitting here, and I was like, wait a second. I'm like, is that fucking Adam Page? Because I thought, I misread it.
I guess technically still a millennial.
Yeah, because I had misread it as Cole for some reason. I saw it, I looked at the title, I was like, oh my god, that is Adam Page. And I was like, holy shit, he looks young as hell. I then learned, I'm pretty sure this is like 3 years into his start as a wrestler. I think.
Oh, sweet.
Like, this is early as hell Adam Page. So they go off with saying they basically hired Pearce to teach him a lesson and to beat some respect into him, basically, because he's a young up-and-comer.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, Pearce, get him.
Pretty much, like, yeah. Right. Like, one of the managers is on commentary for this match, and he's a douche the whole time, but that's kind of the point, because Paige has a bunch of people who are his, like, managers slash in the faction. You've got one tall, like, balder dude who is, who's clearly the one that he likes. You can see that before the match. You have the one that's on commentary who he very clearly does not like, but he's his coach slash mentor, so he deals with it. And then you have a third guy who I'm pretty sure is not a manager, but is a member in the faction, but he didn't really do much in the match, so yeah, I don't got much on him. So the match starts off, Pearce goes for a handshake, and he's, like, telling the crowd to, like, be quiet, and, like, I don't know what they were trying to say, because, like, the audio was kind of iffy on this part, but he's, like, basically shushing them, right?
Yeah.
Paige is hesitant to do so, but eventually Paige is like, all right, yeah, sure. He, like, hesitantly shakes his hand, and Pearce immediately punches him in the face, because Pearce, in this whole match, is an obnoxious-ass heel, and I love me some obnoxious heels, so you know I was a fan of this.
Pearce just went, yeah, come on, shake my hand. Nope.
Punch you in the face, dumb bitch. How dare you shake my hand?
Why would you even take that offer, you idiot?
Yep, Pearce is all over Paige at this point, just beating the shit out of him, raining just these meaty ass strikes in him, because I gotta say, Pearce has some good ass strikes, dude.
Yeah,
they're all great looking in this match, pretty much. He's just abusing Paige in the corner at this point, and there's a point where the refs like tries to maintain like control and like being like, all right, stop, get off of him in the corner so we can actually have some breathing room, and like Pearce stops and like stares the ref down, and the ref's like, I'm the ref, dude. Like, what are you? And from this
I'm the ref. What are you gonna do?
Exactly. And from this point on, there's just noticeable tension between the two, because Pearce very clearly does not respect this ref nor the crowd or anyone really outside of the guys that hired him. And even then, it's iffy at best.
Even then, it's shaky.
Even then, he's kind of like, I do what I want. And, like, I'll do what I want, but I agree with these guys' way of thinking, so I'll listen to them and all that. So, moving on from this, Paige eventually is actually able to get the upper hand here by using the momentum. Like, Pearce Irish whips him, he uses the momentum, and he hits a series of his classic moonsault drop kicks, where he drop kicks and moonsaults. He has, like, three of these, I think. He's able to... Pearce then is able to shove Paige into the corner, because it's very clear in this match that Pearce is a much bigger and much stronger man than Paige is.
Yes.
He goes to run at Paige. Paige boots him. Pearce then comes right back at him, and he ducks out of the way when Pearce comes to, like, jumping slam him. Paige then uses this opportunity to get to the top rope as, like, Pearce, like, stumbles out of the corner and drop kicks him, which causes Pearce to roll out of the ring. which then leads into Page doing his classic signature shooting star press off the apron onto Pierce. The crowd popped really hard for that, and I did too, because I love that thing. It's a thing of beauty.
I also popped hard. It was great.
It was great. Can't confirm. Was great. Unfortunately, for this point, Paige kind of takes a bit too long to continue going after Pierce, because he's like, oh man, that was awesome. And he goes over and he picks Pierce up, and Pierce just launches him into the barricade, like sends him flying into it. Paige sells it great.
Would you say yeet?
Yes, I would. I'm trying to spice up my vocab here, but he is yote into the corner, but into that barricade, basically.
I love the word yote.
Yote
is the past term of yeet.
Yes. And then at one point, you can hear the other side of the crowd going, throw him over here. Throw him over here, basically.
I'll catch him.
So Pierce is listening.
Somebody holds up the sign with like the bullseye on it. Like, throw cowboy here.
Exactly. He's not even a cowboy at this point, honestly. He doesn't even have like any like of his cowboy gear, and he just has like a pair of black trunks on, not even like his like chaps or anything like that. Not even the bandana.
Damn.
Yeah, like it's a young Adam Page. So
throw sad yeehaw man here.
So Pierce goes, oh yeah, sure, I'll definitely do that. And like you can tell like how much charisma he's got, like, oh yeah, totally. And then as he's doing it, he just turns the thing around and he just throws him right back into the same barricade and basically flips the crowd off. I'm just like,
okay.
I'm like, it's just like the way he does it. He's like, yeah, you fucking idiots. Do you think I was going to actually listen to you?
Idiots, come on. Who do you think I am?
Dude, he gets into the ring. He does like the Adam Cole Bebe signal. And then he's like, yeah, no, fuck off, whatever. And then some guy's like trying to heckle him, because he looks at some dude. He just kind of like shoots his, like, he like, you know, like when someone sticks their finger on their nose and just shoots snot at someone, he does that towards a dude and does like the suck it sign to some dude in the crowd. And I'm like, damn.
Man, that, honestly, Adam Pierce is somebody whose bad side I would never want to get
on. I was
on.
Like, no respect for this crowd. And I loved it. I was like, this is so over the top and just obnoxious, and I love every bit of it. It's awesome. I think at one point, too, at this point, when he's beating the shit out of Paige on the outside, the ref's trying to tell him to get into the ring, and he rolls sideways into the ring, like, halfway, looks at the ref, and then does, like, where the underarm, like, go fuck yourself thing, you know, where, like, you take
You hit your bicep, your forearm,
like, that. It does that to the ref, like, he literally didn't give a shit, like, his character didn't.
Adam Pierce is just flipping people off in every way he knows how.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, he's gonna do, like, the Italian, like,
exactly.
The little hand under the chin.
Mm-hmm. But anywho, back to the match. While he's taunting this fam, Paige actually is able to get up, and he takes the opportunity to actually start to make a little bit of a comeback here. Like, he starts to like chop Pierce, like hit Pierce up, get up, starts to really gain some momentum, and then Pierce just drop kicks him in the face. And then Pierce just dismantles Paige in the corner here. Just beating the shit out of him, just dissecting this man. Then he hits him with a mean neck breaker in the middle of the ring, and we get to this cool spot where Pierce is pinning Paige, right? He has one hand on the mat, and he's got one hand in the air, and he's counting as the ref counts. He's going 1, 2, and of course Paige kicks out, and he goes 3.
Nice.
And he then starts to argue with the ref here, and I thought it was just hilarious, the idea of he's like, oh yeah, I'll just count it out with you guys, and then he just doesn't go there, and he's like, what the fuck? And he goes through, he's
what
like,
the hell?
It's 3. And the ref's like, no, it's 2.
He's like, you don't. He's like, no, 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 no. I counted to 3.
He's like, and I, yeah, exactly. It's like, this bullshit. And as they're arguing, Paige gets to the ropes, and there's like a point where like he's hanging on like the middle rope. And every time Pierce goes over to try to get him, he like kicks him away with his legs.
Okay.
Eventually, though, Pierce does get up and pick him up. And he throws to Irish whip Paige. Paige grabs onto the ropes, and he elbows Pierce in the face when he goes at him. And then as he runs to go, Pierce just hits this huge spine buster on him. Looked
okay,
great.
Nice.
And then once again, oh my god, Pierce and the ref just start to argue again. I forgot what they were arguing about for even for this point, but there's just, he's just really not having this ref shit, even though the ref's not having his shit at all.
Pierce is just like, no matter what happens, I'm going to yell at this referee.
Honestly, it's probably just the fact that Paige kicked out after it, and he's just like, what are you doing? Can you do your job?
Talk, count faster, come on.
Exactly. And at this point, you can actually see Paige like slowly get up behind him, and when he finally does turn around and see him, he goes, oh shit, and he tries to punch him.
Oh no.
And Paige actually ducks it and then pops off by hitting his... He just starts to just beat the shit out of him. All the strikes he's been taking all match, all the punches. He just gets all of it back and then some with this comeback. He then Irish whips Pierce and he tries to flapjack him, though. And Pierce then picks him up and then just punches him in the face. Except then, Paige gets his revenge on him because Pierce tries to Irish whip him and hits him with a clothesline.
Mm-hmm.
But Paige instead ducks it and then hits him with another moonsault dropkick. And at this point, I should point out the commentary, which is the douchebag manager on commentary, because he's clearly the asshole in the group. It's just kind of like, yeah, he's just doing all this like fancy flippy shit, and he can't be doing that against Pierce. He's just got to beat him up. He's got to be a man and beat this guy up, because that's the whole story of this match. So Paige is doing like not old school like stuff. Like their whole thing about the decade from this, from what I gathered, is that they're trying to raise up the next generation of stars in Ring of Honor by teaching them the old ways of, like, you know, just like groundwork, classic wrestling stuff. And Paige is not entirely that. If you can't tell from the fact that the few spots he's had here that he popped off were like big, like huge momentum spots compared to like Pierce just beating the shit out of him. Very well, might I add. Anywho, I digress. Paige then goes to mount Pierce in the corner. He starts to punch him in the head repeatedly, but he keeps looking for the approval of that one coach I mentioned a while back that he liked. Like, there's a point where he gets off the turnbuckle. He's like, yeah, you like that? And then he turns around and Pierce just pokes him in the eye when he goes after him.
Boop.
The camera didn't catch it, though, but Paige sold it, so it was fine.
Yeah.
And then Pierce goes to the top rope, and Paige then crotches him and then hits a massive superplex onto him, which is awesome, because Pierce is a huge lad.
Yeah, he is.
And after this, Paige goes over to Pierce, and then Pierce throws him over the apron, over onto the apron, and then punches him in the face. And then Hangman actually goes for the buckshot lariat, but it's not called that or anything. The commentary didn't even make a big deal out of it. And I was like, wow, this is... If I was in
it's such a cool move, though, still.
Oh, it's so good. I love the buckshot lariat. But anywho, Pierce ducks
that. He didn't have the cowboy theme yet, so the buckshot
didn't have the cowboy theme. Didn't have the power behind it. Didn't have the speed, because Pierce just ducked it.
And the flipping over the top rope lariat just didn't roll off the tug.
Nope. And like, even though Hangman's able to forearm him in the face after this, not like lose it, Pierce doesn't really let him get to him, because as Hangman's going to bounce off the ropes, Pierce is already like matching him. So when Hangman turns around to see him like running at him, he just hits him with like a JBL like clothesline from hell esque lariat, where he just turns Paige inside out, like destroys him.
Rough.
And
rough,
after this,
buddy.
This is where I realized that this is probably the heyday of Ring of Honor, because Roderick Strong shows up on the entrance ramp.
Roderick Strong?
Yeah, dude. Like, I was like, holy shit. I was like, Roddy was still, I was like, oh shit. I was like, that means like Cole and fucking Fish.
Man, that's,
and O'Reilly are probably still here too, then.
That's the Ring of Honor I want to watch, where it was like Kevin Steen, Adam Cole, Roger Strong, Adam Page, El Generico.
The whole
That's what I want to watch. Give me that all day.
Mm-hmm. And as I learned, basically, is that Strong is part of this faction. And I was like, this makes sense based on, like, you know, the whole, like, classic wrestling maneuver. And Strong is the messiah of the backbreaker. And just, he's amazing at wrestling. But this isn't about him. So maybe someday, Strong. Pierce acknowledges this by saying, like, this is now where Paige is going to die. Like, he says, this is where he dies now. And I was like, okay, well, that's good. Well, let's see what happens.
The guy, like, the top bosses for Ring of Honor are like, no, we just wanted you to teach him a lesson. No, please don't kill him.
Tough love, man. They got to learn sometime. They die now.
Now they just die. We just kill people who don't learn their lesson in time.
Mm-hmm. So this is where we lead into the finish of the match, where as Pierce is picking him up, Paige is like staring a hole in Roderick, because I assume the two of them are like the two young guys in the faction, so he's not trying to be outdone by Roderick, who's probably in the good graces of the douchebag heel manager.
I wouldn't imagine.
So Paige gets up on his feet. Pierce is like kind of like not like paying as much attention to him, because he doesn't see that he's staring a hole in Roderick. And the moment he looks back at Paige, Paige just slaps the taste out of his mouth.
Ooh.
It's the first time he's probably like in this match, like, straight up, like, disrespected Pierce, like, where he wasn't, like, trying to make a comeback. And Pierce is infuriated by this, so he just kicks Paige in the gut and goes for, like, a powerbomb. But Paige then quickly pulls his feet out and then just flips over on top of him and actually rolls him up for the win here.
Ooh, nice.
And Pierce is beside himself here that he just lost like that.
Yeah, I bet. But that's a big win for Paige, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's huge. So then it goes to Pierce offering his hand for a handshake, and it's a callback to the first match because he's goading Paige into going to this handshake. Because Paige is like, I don't know, and he's like, come on, you earn my respect. And the other manager is like the douchebag who manages, like, yeah, shake his hand. Moment he shakes his hand, Pierce just punches him in the face and starts kicking the shit out of him.
When are you going to learn?
That is literally what the manager basically says. He's like, you were so close to learning the lesson, but you just don't understand because you're an idiot.
Instead of it being like, it's like, instead of how many times you teach this lesson, old man, it's like, how many times you teach you this lesson, young man?
Basically, yeah, it's saying like, the crowd means nothing. Don't be respectful. Be disrespectful. Do what you do. And basically be a heel.
Yeah.
And Paige doesn't leave them here, but I assume this leads up to something because Paige begrudgingly leaves with them, like, even holds the ropes open for Pierce, who's like chatting it up with Roderick Strong and like the douchebag heel manager, while the nice manager leaves the ring with him.
The nice manager.
The nice guy, the guy who Paige clearly likes and has like a soft spot for Paige.
Gotcha.
And that's where it ends.
Alright. Alright, awesome. I like it. It sounds like it's pretty good.
Yeah, I give this match a high meh.
Okay.
Didn't give me that feeling of, like, right, a markout match, but, like, I really enjoyed the story they told here with the commentary and all that. I enjoyed... Pierce was great. I'm not surprised that the man is a five-time NWA champion and held that belt for quite some time. Like, mm-hmm. He is fucking awesome in the ring. And it just makes me even sadder that I didn't get to see him versus Roman Reigns. But you know what? I'll take Kevin Owens any day.
I'll always take Kevin Owens anytime, he's anywhere.
So good.
I love Kevin Owens.
One of these days, I have to pick the El Generico versus Kevin and Steen ladder match from Ring of Honor that everyone knows about. I just want to watch that. I've never seen that match.
I watched that for Indy 500, I think.
Ooh.
The
I've
ladder
never seen
war?
The match. I know the match that I know the spot everyone knows where he basically just package pile drivers him through like three ladders, but I don't know the actual match itself.
Yeah, the match is obviously awesome. Like, how could it be bad? Like, I'm pretty sure I watched that for Indy 500. I remember that match, and it was like you said, it's everyone knows it, and it's pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens are now and Sami Zayn. I guess Kevin Steen and El Generico are two very good wrestlers.
Very good.
So let's move on to my second match of the day here.
Hit me with it. What you got?
All right, my next match this week was from Beyond Wrestling, an event called 2 Weeks Notice. Oh. And we have Lee Moriarty.
All right.
Taking on Wheeler Yuta.
Wheeler Yuta. I feel like Lee Moriarty,
watched,
I know, but Wheeler sounds familiar.
We've watched a Wheeler match. Wheeler Yuta and Hot Sauce Tracy Williams.
Ah, okay, yes, this is why the names sound familiar.
Versus Violence is Forever, right?
Yes, that is
correct.
I just looked at his picture. I remember this man.
Yeah, we've seen Wheeler in action.
Yes, I have seen Wheeler. All right.
This match is 10 minutes, is like 11 minutes long.
Okay.
But boy howdy.
Oh, man. That's what you know.
Did they squeeze a lot in?
When he hits you with the boy howdy, that's when you know this is a wild ride.
Adam Page walked in and he says, boy howdy. This match is insane. It starts off with some absolutely bonkers chain wrestling. These two just going through holds like...
Damn.
Like snap.
Like it's like, going out.
Another hold. Escape. Like, these two just cannot get a hold on each other. It's crazy. They just keep reversing and, like, escaping and just... It's insane how they start this match. It's like... Oh, shit. It's like a hardcore technical wrestling match. Like, it is just like in the beginning, at least, it's like as technical as you can get. Like, these two put on a clinic for technical wrestling, for just technique.
Mm-hmm.
And does it pick up after that? There's not going to be a lot of me describing spots in this one because I could barely keep up.
Yeah, match these two hard.
It was like 11 minutes, and it reminded me, it gave me hints of like the match we watched a couple weeks ago, the Ben Carter and Blake Christian.
Oh god, that match!
Just in terms of how fast it was and how they just flew through spots.
And like, if you were to describe a spot, it would take like a whole 5 minutes to describe the 30 seconds it took them to do that spot.
Exactly, because it's like, well, he did this, but then he reversed it with this, and then it was like this.
Yeah, it's like, Ugh. And then you're out of breath, and then you're like, wait a second, I still have another 10 minutes of the match left to go over.
Yeah, this one was insane. Like, this one was absolutely buck wild. These two, like, really... If it was an outdoor match, but if this place had a roof, it would have been blown off. Like, it was just so quick, and their athleticism is unbelievable. And the fact that they can move this fast, and also just have the precision and the technical know-how they had in this match while keeping up the pace was nuts.
Damn.
The amount of crazy, like, escapes and, like, reversals I saw from Yuta in this match, just getting out of different holds that Lee Moriarty had, was nuts. There's a really cool spot where Yuta gets up on the top rope, mm-hmm. or on the second rope, and he, like, goes, like, huh! Like, he's gonna jump, and Lee Moriarty's like, oh, no! And as he's covering his head,
mm-hmm.
Yuta goes up to the top, and then does a huge crossbody after the fake-out. He, like, uses the time where Lee's not looking to just go up another turnbuckle.
That's funny. It's just like, ha-ha, I outsmarted you.
Yeah. But then Lee kicks out of the pin, rolls up, stands up, and then hits a big enziguri, and they're both out.
Of course.
But then there's, like this, like I said, this match happened so fast that the ending just, like, hits you, like out of nowhere, right?
Oh, really?
It looks like they're just doing, like, a normal, like, rope running spot.
Mm-hmm.
Lee goes off the ropes, and he jumps at Yuta.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's going for, like, a crossbody.
Okay.
Or, like, no. Okay, here's what happened. It looked like Yuta was gonna go for, like, a tilt-a-whirl, like, backbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of doing the backbreaker part, he gets him into, like, a tombstone position.
Damn.
He locks his legs in, and he has his head, and he has Lee's head in between his legs, and just yanks backwards on the legs.
Ooh.
And just, or, I'm sorry, forwards, I guess, since Lee is facing in, like, literally, like, a tombstone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he just crosses his legs, and then just bends his back, and just bends him forward.
Oh my God.
While he's just holding his head, and then Lee taps out to that. Because that, it was one of the most insane submissions I've ever seen in my entire life. I was like, what even was that?
That's like, that. Holy, that's like, it's like someone.
It's hard for me to describe. I think you get it.
It sounds like someone.
It's weird.
It's like someone took, like, the clover hold, you know, where, like, someone, like, wraps their legs up with their hand and he pulls back. Except they kept their head held between their legs and just yanked that back. Oh.
And literally, he just, like, pushed his legs forward, yeah. So his back was just, like, it was brutal looking.
No, that's up there with submissions. So, that would just break me.
Yeah, it's no surprise Lee tapped out to that one pretty quick, because it looked absolutely brutal, and Yuta ends up winning this match. This one gets a mark out for me. This one was insane.
I know what I'm like, watching next week.
Like, there wasn't, yeah. Like, there wasn't, like, it wasn't, like, a crazy mark out where there's, like, oh, it's kick out after finishing move after finishing move.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, just how smooth and how buttery this entire match was.
Mm-hmm.
At the speed they were, like I said, the speed, the precision, the technical prowess, was everything was just A+ in this match. Definitely gets a mark out from me.
Ooh.
So good. Go check it out if you can. It's free on Beyond Wrestling's YouTube channel. Wheeler Yuta versus Lee Moriarty from 2 weeks notice. What a match, honestly. It's 10 minutes, like I said, it's 10 minutes long, but it's just a banger.
Well, look at that. Damn.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Okay. Alright, after that markout, Zach, why don't you take us into your second match of the week?
Well, my second match isn't going to live up to the markout grade, but I'll do my best to give you a match that I thought was pretty good.
Hey, nothing wrong with pretty good.
I chose for this week Penelope Ford versus Barbie Hayden at Women's Wrestling Revolution.
Ah, another WWR.
Yes,
I believe like you said, match in the beginning, couple
happened
WWR.
In like 2014 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was it's like way back because Janela and her were still a thing at the time because of commentary telling you that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know the exact date off the top of my head.
Gotcha.
So, the match starts up with your standard introductions between the two of them before we get into, like, a collar and elbow tie-up between each woman. And it ends up with Hayden shoving Ford into the corner and then just getting up on the turnbuckle and just running her face across, running her arm across Ford, her elbow, like, across Ford's face before, like, the ref obviously has to get her some space. And I will say, before this started, I wasn't sure who was the face and who was the heel here, because neither one was super, like, out there. And then that happened. I was like, all right, well, if she's not a heel, I don't know what is. So the two then lock
if
up.
If she's not the heel,
if she's not the heel, then I hate to see what the actual heel is then at this point. So the two then lock up again. This time Ford actually has the upper hand, getting Hayden in this really nice wrist lock and then a headlock, which keeps cinched him for like a good amount of time. At one point, then she even takes her to the ground, and like Hayden keeps trying to like yank Ford's hair and like basically like forearm her in the chest to make her let go, but she can't get her to let go. Except, and then when this finally doesn't work and she's had enough of trying this, Hayden then puts Ford in a head scissors hold, right?
Okay.
And she, like, yanks back on her head and, like, she does it so much so that it looks like Ford's head actually gets under her body a bit and her body is forced to arch, like, super high up. Look, fucking nasty. And I think that's something similar to that, to the Priscilla Kelly and, I think it's Valkyrie match. No. Yeah, Valkyrie match that I watched before. Now, all I remember thinking to myself was, God, that looks awful.
Priscilla Kelly, now NXT superstar.
Oh, I saw that, and I was like, you know what? If she does well in there, I'm like, good for her.
Priscilla Kelly, now NXT superstar, Gigi Dolin.
Yeah, there's a bunch of the class. I remember I saw that. I remember, I think it was like the other one was Elena Black. I think it was another
one. Yeah, that one. I didn't see that coming. Especially since she has a match against Janela at Fight Forever coming up.
Oh, she does? Oh my god.
Yeah, it's her versus Janela, so that was weird.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, which, so I don't know how that's gonna work out, but hey, I guess we'll see.
I guess we'll see. Alright, so, back to this, Ford eventually gets out of the, gets out of it by the standard, like, you know, like, however, when they get into, like, a head scissors hold, like, they stand up and they do a handstand and, like, just very lightly and daintily get out of the handstand and, like, stand up and the person sitting on the ground, like, all right, well, shit.
Yeah, like, oh, come on.
Yeah, Ford instead decides to, like, flip out, like, do, like, a, like, you know, like, how, like, when someone does, like, a wrist lock, they do, like, the quick flip forward to get out of the wrist lock.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Ford does to get out of this.
And, where, like, they, like, go on, like, their head.
Yeah, she did that, basically, Gavin. That actually caught me by surprise. It's like, oh, shit. And then she's, like, showboating, like, yeah, that was awesome. And Hayden just walks up behind her and just grabs her by her hair and just tries to lariat her for this.
Just says nah. You're not gonna make a fool out of me.
Like, what you think you doing showboating when the match is still going on? So Ford actually reverses this lariat by doing like the Matrix duck, where like she ducks back and gets into like a crab like walk. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a Neo from the Matrix thing. Like she bends backwards and like goes into like the Bray Wyatt crab walk, like a spider walk.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Okay, I got you.
And then she takes Hayden down with the spinning head scissors, which like she spins all the way around the ring and like throws her out.
Mm-hmm.
Hayden's able to retake control after this though, because she dodges a splash from Ford in the corner when she's recuperating, and then hits her with a huge power slam. With Hayden in control at this point now, she just starts to just beat the shit out of Ford and just yanks her hair down while doing so. And eventually the ref tells her to, like, stop yanking her hair, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, and then immediately just, forms Ford in the face and goes back to beating her up. Yeah, it's literally like that. It's like, oh no, I'm so sorry, and looks at Ford and just wham, back in the face. Just right in the face.
The pure sarcasm.
I love it. Sassy ass heels doing sassy things.
Sassy heels doing sassy heel. I can't talk right now. I'm doing sassy heel shit.
Exactly. So next up, Hayden then puts Ford in another hold. This time she uses her arms to choke her out while she has her knee applied to her back. And towards the end of this, where she has it, she starts to really just yank Ford back, like, uncomfortably far backwards to the point where her, like, chest is just all the way back into, like, it's making, like, kind of like an N shape.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, God. I was like, why?
Oh, no.
Ford takes a lot of fucking punishment in this match. Like,
yeah, it sounds like it.
Really, like, just holds her. I was like, wow, she's just letting this happen.
And sounds like she took a beating this time around.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I think about the stuff I've seen in AEW, you know, I'm still not caught up. I'm not too surprised. I think about it in hindsight. So, like, Ford's taking some nasty bumps. And she's done some intergender matches, too. So she knows what's up.
Watched I watched a hardcore match with Janela and someone who shall not be named. And she took a pretty big bump through a barbed wire table.
Oh no! I thought he's a table only. Oh no!
She's tough.
Yeah, she is. Getting into this again right after that. Remember that sleeper I said where she bent her backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So as she still bent like a pretzel, Hayden's like, you know what? Let's just use this, and she just puts her in a dragon sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just raining down forearms onto Ford's chest while this is happening, and I'm just like, God, this woman just can't catch a break.
Yeah.
She then, like, releases the hold and starts to choke Ford out in the ropes, and while she's doing that, when she's done doing that, she just hits her with a running knee to the back of her head, and then a jumping knee onto her chest, like, as she's, like, laying on the ground. Like, she jumps up using the ropes, knees her on the chest, and Ford, like, just is just out. Like, she's just, she's exhausted at this point. But the crowd starts to fire up at this point. They're like chanting for Ford to make a comeback. So Hayden just continues to just on her offense, just beating Ford up. She picks her up. Ford attempts to counter an Irish whip with a crucifix bomb, but Hayden just catches her and then rams her back into the corner, like back first. Except it looks like she hits her head on her the back of her head into the ring post when she hits this. And commentary was pretty sold, and he's like, yep, no, that's a sound I'll hear in my nightmares for hitting her head on the post. And I was like, Jesus, oof. God. I was like, oof, why? And if you thought Yikes. That was bad, the punishment just keeps coming for Ford. As she's recovering from this in the corner, Hayden hits her with a running knee, gets up on the top ropes, balances herself on it.
Okay.
Puts Ford in another head scissors, except once she's done with that, because she can't submit Ford, obviously, in the corner with this, because she's using the ropes to hold this. She then just spikes her head onto the mat from this head scissors.
Oof.
And I was just like, ouch. I was like, damn. Jesus. Hayden then, like, hits a drop kick on Ford.
At what point
Ford...
do you just start feeling bad for Ford?
I did, and I was like, man, like, I really...
Oh, man.
I mean, she did a good job. Like, she was selling it really well, and Hayden was being a really, like, just an awful heel. And I was like, all right, I'm like, I really want to see Ford win this. And she did her job. Well, she got me into it, which is what's supposed to happen. I should want to see the babyface win.
Mm.
And eventually Ford rolls out of the ring, gets on the apron. As she's recovering, Hayden just kind of, like, tackles her and just knocks her onto the apron.
Nice.
So as Ford's getting into the ring, she's been beat up so much at this point. And Hayden goes and, like, grabs her by her head, drapes her over the top ropes. It looks like she's about to DDT her, and the announcer's like, oh, come on, no, not again on her head, man, come on.
Not again.
And Ford actually is able to get out of it and almost rolls her up for the win with this, but Hayden gets out of it. And Ford immediately jumps back on her, because at this point she realizes, I assume, that she's just going to get her ass kicked even more if she doesn't stop her from just beating the shit out of her.
Mm-hmm. I just love the announcers just being like, oh, not again.
Like, come on, man.
Please stop. Show mercy.
So Ford fights Hayden for control of this match and gets her in a position for a German. But Hayden is just too strong and too stubborn to let this happen. So Ford decides, you know what? I'll just beat her up from behind and knock her to the ground, which she does successfully.
You know what? I'll just beat her up.
Hayden then hits Ford with a clothesline, but Ford doesn't let this stop her. And she delivers a series of stiff kicks where she kicks Hayden in her ribs. And then when she goes to cover with her arm, she kicks her in the arm again. And it's like a Daniel Bryan-esque kick where it's like, ouch, that's, ow, probably didn't feel too good. Mm-hmm. And then she just gives a stiff series of chops to Hayden's chest in the corner. Look, I was like, well, she's got her payback after the torturous, not the torturous, after the gauntlet of submission she's been put through in this match. Mm-hmm. Ford runs at her in the corner, but Hayden elbows her in the face. Only for Ford to actually be able to, like, roll Hayden up She tries to advance on this, but she gets almost rolled up. And she, how do I describe this? I just realized what the spot is. She goes to roll her up, and she does, like, the thing where she throws them headfirst into the turnbuckle. You know what I mean? Like, she, like, for the roll-up sequence, like, she pulls them into the turnbuckle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that okay, I realized I gotcha. Midway through what this was in my in my notes here, because I write brief notes when I look at these matches to remember these.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads to the finish, where Ford actually is able to hit her signature handspring elbow to Hayden in the corner, and then follows it up with a handspring off the ropes into a cutter for the win.
Hey, Penelope Ford, after all that punishment stuff,
finally got
top.
A win. And I will say, I like this. I enjoyed this match quite a bit. I liked also how, one thing I didn't note in this match that I should probably know, is the commentary was really bigging up how Ford was like, this is one of, like, her, like, she didn't have Janela around, and at this point in time, Janela was, like, a big influence in how she, like, did her match. Like, he would, like, tell her, like, what she should do. He was there, and he was in her corner. And this was like a match where she didn't have Janela's backup. She was just her. So she, like, commentary was like, she's really going to have to dig in and see if she can, like, you know, pull out a win. And she did. And Hayden was furious when she lost because, you know, if you're dominating 75% of this match and then the babyface just hits you with their finisher and wins, I'd be pretty pissed off too.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like the match I said
that was
first.
That was what I was thinking. I was like, two in the same promotion.
Yeah.
Similar attitudes for the heels at the end. She even
with
slapped
Ellering and Skylar, yeah.
Yep, she even slapped her hand away. She's like, don't even look at me. She walked out of the ring, didn't acknowledge. She's like, look at the crowd, like, don't fucking touch me. That was bullshit. I should have won that.
Yikes.
I want to give this match a high meh.
High meh, okay.
It's a good match. I think what puts it up above me, if I was going to give this match a meh, is just the fact that, like, I just really like the selling from Ford and just Hayden. Like, the two of them did a really good job of, like, really painting this picture of, like, a valiant babyface coming back from this dominating force of a heel.
Yeah, all right.
And commentary with that extra just flavor onto it of how she was trying to, how she was going out on her own this time was just nice. It was like
going
a nice,
out on her own, yeah.
It's nice, a nice flavor, a nice little, like, that's what I'm looking for, like, finishing touch to it, I guess.
Cool.
So, yeah, high meh for me. Two high mess for me, I think.
Nice. Not a bad week.
As long as I don't get a miss out, I'm fine.
Which I don't think you're gonna, because now we're gonna talk about the match we both watched, which I am very excited about. We watched a match from Riptide Wrestling.
God bless Riptide Wrestling.
We watched Gene Money taking on Rishi Ghosh.
Rishi Ghoshi.
What is this match? Was something?
Oh, it is Ghosh. I'm a dumbass, but this match was
Rishi Ghosh. This match was so funny.
This match is hilarious.
It's so good. This is, okay, so it's a preface to this. This is a comedy match.
Like,
This is absolutely 100% a comedy match. It was really good. I really liked it. I really liked how in the beginning they had that whole exchange. Yeah. Basically, they basically did the build and the match all in the ring.
Oh my god, like they get into the ring. They, like, Money does his entrance, Ghosh does his entrance, and, like, they get in, and the first thing that comes out of Ghosh's mouth is, you know what you did! And Money's like, listen, I'm sorry. He's like, you know I love panto matches. So
what is that?
A panto match.
What's a combat panto match?
All right, so I actually looked at what a panto is. Like, let me read you what Wikipedia says it is. A panto is a type of musical comedy stage production designed for family entertainment that was developed in England and performed throughout the United Kingdom.
So what is a combat panto match?
A combat panto match, from what I can assume, is like a musical comedy wrestling match. And the funny part is the match is actually on Riptide Wrestling's YouTube channel because I found it.
Interesting.
And it's a long match, too. It's like a long match. It's a pretty long match compared to, like, this match. It's like,
it was a Gene Money match, though.
This is true.
Yeah, okay.
And, like, it's they're all dressed in, like, Christmas outfits, I think, too. It was...
Wow.
So, yeah, apparently Ghosh, the guy in charge, the guy, the heel of this match, was like, is a really big fan of these, and he felt really offended that Money didn't have him included in this match.
Yeah, they went from being, like, friends and like smiling to like I said, the build for this match and the match was all in the ring.
Like, literally, yeah, like at one point I think Money's like, well, you know what, I found a horse back there, we can make a panto match happen with the horse somehow. And eventually Ghosh is like, no, it's not Christmas. And he's like, we can do an Easter one, and the crowd starts chanting like Easter panto. He's like, no, Easter panto, that doesn't exist, no. And eventually, though, the match does get underway when Ghosh pushes Money bounces off the ropes and shoulders Ghosh, and Ghosh is like, oh, what, you want to go? And they just have this spot where the bell rings at this point where he shoulder charges Money. Money gets bounced off the ropes, shoulder charges him, and the two of them are just hitting each other.
You're forgetting the best part where every time Money did a shoulder block to Ghosh, Money just apologized.
He's like, I'm sorry.
Every time Money hit one, he was like, I'm sorry.
I was dying. And then and then my favorite part, right at the end of this spot, Money's like, you know what, I've had enough of this. And he walks out of the way, and Ghost just jumps over the top rope and just flies out of the ring.
Yep.
I was like, this match is already amazing. Eventually, yeah. Ghost then gets he's like, you're an idiot. I don't want anything to do with you right now. And Money's like, oh, come on, I'll do the spot where I have to follow you around the ring. And he just follows him around the ring. He's like, go away.
He's like, I'm not doing the spot where I chase you. I'm not, as he's chasing him.
Like, I love how this whole match, Ghost is just the most over-exaggerated, like, cartoonishly evil dude, but not as, like, you would expect him to be. Like, he's
You know what he reminded me of? It was like, Ghost was like an angry girlfriend. Ghost was like Gene Money's angry, like life partner is what it felt like.
Yeah. Oh my god.
He was like, I don't even want to talk to you right now. Stop. No. And Money's like, come on, please. Like, come on. I'm sorry.
Exactly. And then she's like, nope. You're an idiot. I'm not even dealing with this. Oh my god. There's
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's so many funny spots in this match that I can just go through.
There was the one point where after Gene is done chasing Ghost around, Ghost gets back in the ring, and Gene's like, listen, I'm going to get back in the ring now. No funny business, okay? And then immediately after he says that, he turns to the camera and just winks. Like, does, like, the over-exaggerated, like, wink.
Oh, love it.
And then Gene goes to get in, and Ghost goes after him. He's like, hey, that's funny business!
Oh my god, yeah, I think he hits the ring, he misses the attack on him, and he goes, that wasn't funny business.
Oh, and then there was the spot where they keep trying to hip-toss each other, but can't, and just, like, go around the ring, and they're like, huh?
Oh my god, they literally go whole ring the entire time. And then, like, eventually Rishi's like, haha, and he close punches Money in the gut. And he's like, you're an idiot! And then Money just arm drags him. Awesome.
Oh, man. There was one point where Rishi gets a two count on Gene Money, and Gene kicks out, and then Rishi just sits there and just goes, I can't believe it. Like, he kicks out of the thing, he's like, I can't believe it. Like, he's just so, like, it wasn't even, like, that flabbergasted. It was just so, like, Money was like, I can't believe it.
Oh, I loved it so much.
He was just so, like, he was just so annoyed. He was like, ugh.
Oh, my God. Oh, what else is there? Let's see.
There's so many things. There's so many things happening in this match. Let's see. It's all so funny.
Oh, my God. Let's see. There's one. I remember a spot. There's a point in this match where Money makes a comeback after Rishi's kind of like really like kind of like hit him with a like I think he's like got him with like a headlock and he's him with like a running uppercut or something like that and he's like choked him out in the on like the ring rope and he's like pointing him to the crowd. He's like, get closer to your friends. They're all your friends, aren't they? And so Money sets up for a lariat, right?
They are your friends, aren't they? He's and Money's like, I like most of them.
So basically, Money at this point gets up to his feet and Rishi runs at him when he's in the corner. He gets his feet up. Goes to the outside, hits an enormous slingshot. He then hits a clothesline, throws Rishi into the corner, hits another clothesline, and then hits a high knee into a spinebuster. And when he goes to pin him, he, like, very lazily just lays on top of him and, like, lifts his leg up. And when he kicks out of it, he's like, terrible pin. Don't even know how that was going to win it. And that just made me die, like, just laugh. Because
He's like, oh, yeah, that was bad.
That was a bad pin. Damn. I was just like, it's such an awful pin. And he just blamed was like, yeah, that was terrible. And just, like, just made me laugh. Oh my god, fucking meta humor.
Anyway.
Oh, there was a bunch. Then I think we get to the end here where, like, Money this whole match been setting up for this lariat, and he almost hits it on Ghost here. As Ghost turns around and Ghost gets on his knees, he's like, I'm so sorry. And the two argue again of like, all right, you know, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. And then Money's like, no, we're both
we're
sorry.
We're both sorry.
So Rishi tries to then get a cheap shot by punching Money in his dick, but Money catches him by his hand and says, you don't punch my penis, before punching him in the jaw and almost knocking him out.
No. Just, and then he was like, no, that was a mistake.
Yeah, it was a mistake. Punches him in the face, almost knocks him down. Oh my god, like, I think there's just Money then, like, eventually, it ends up getting on the top rope after fighting with Rishi in the corner. And Rishi then hits this really cool, like, stunner off him off the top rope that called the Ghost Train. Which doesn't get the win. So when he does, he goes like, alright, Ghostbuster time! Like, he says something like this super... I can't do it justice to how he says it, because how he exasperates everything is just so funny to me. And then Money gets out of it. Rishi tries to boot him, but gets taught on the top rope. And then Money just picks him up by one arm and then does a one-armed powerbomb on him. And you think he's going to pin him, but then he goes, ah! Throws him off of him, gets up, and then hits him with the lariat and wins off of that.
Yep.
And
yep.
Ghost looks so sad. Money's music hits, which I forgot the theme of this, what this actual theme is, but it's like a fucking, I forgot what Money's actual theme is, but it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking great. This is even mentioning the fact that the Riptide people have a bunch of like subtitles in, so you'll catch everything they say, which I appreciate greatly, by the way, because sometimes you miss the banter between people in the ring, and it's
sad. Very good. There's Riptide, we always talk about it. Riptide's production value is just like off the wall.
Oh, it was great.
It's so good. It's so good.
Oh my god! Like there was a point where like they're going to the ring, Ghost enters the ring, and like the guy who did the subtitles is like mild applause. Money comes in, it's like passionate applause.
I didn't even notice that.
I loved it so much. I was like, the guy at Riptide did these subtitles had a good time.
Catch that.
Amazing.
That's really funny.
Oh my god, I loved it. Dude, going to this match, I didn't even know who either guy was, so like Ghost put up this like promo of like this like I'm like, it's just gonna be like a blood feud type thing, and when he
no.
And then Gene Money's entrance happened where he stuck his leg out, and I was like, what? And then he came out into the ring and did his entrance, and I was just like, I wasn't expecting that at all. And
Gene
I
Money
love this
is
match.
So
this
is
match
such, is so funny.
Was fucking hilarious. I can't do the justice of each guy's delivery of their lines, nor how they did the physical gags. Can't do it justice. Like I love this match.
Just these two are just like, it was just pure chemistry between these two guys. Like they
so
really
funny.
Like they you could tell they've worked with each other before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, they put on just such a good, like they were just so hilarious together.
I love this match.
And they put on such a great match. Just like in terms of comedy, okay. We're not rating this on the same scale as like a Do Fixer versus Blood Generation.
Oh yeah, no.
This is in terms of like comedy matches, this is really good. And I think for as a comedy match, it gets a mark out.
Gets a mark out from me, but for those of you listening, Mikey Hero for me is like the king of comedy matches. So
I love comedy matches.
Mark out,
I love
is,
comedy
that's a
wrestling.
Pretty high braid right there.
Comedy wrestling is so good. In term like for a comedy wrestling match, this is a mark out. Like this made me laugh almost as much as what my favorite comedy match of all time, which is Gentleman Jervis versus Orange Cassidy.
That match is so good.
Yeah, it is. That match rules. That's one of my favorite comedy matches, probably my favorite comedy match of all time, and this was definitely up there, because these two just knocked it out of the park, and it was so, so funny. They were, I don't know, like you said, it was just, like, the delivery, the timing, the physical comedy, everything just, like, just worked.
Mm-hmm.
They really just did a really awesome job, and I was dying. Like, I was, like, cracking up watching this match. And yeah, for that, like it gets a mark out just because I enjoyed it so much.
I loved it. I literally was dying. I was dying at some point. There were points where I literally, the first opening bits of this match when I didn't know what to expect. I was like, this is amazing.
I don't remember the last time Riptide has disappointed me.
I have not had a time when it has disappointed me yet. I hope they keep that up.
So far, they have. So what was I gave it a mark out. I don't think I heard your rating for this one.
I believe I said it as you were. I think I said it as you said it too. I also gave it a mark out. For me, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, just like as like I said, it's not like the same mark out we usually give matches. It's just like in terms of comedy matches, it's a very good comedy match.
It also helps that on this show I've watched many more comedy matches, so I know I now know, at least I think I now know, the distinct difference between a good comedy match and like for me at least, a good comedy match and a not so good comedy match, or not as well executed as comedy match, I guess is a better way of putting it.
So if you like to laugh during your wrestling, go check this one out. It's over on Riptide's YouTube channel.
So fun.
So good. Very much worth the time.
Mm-hmm.
So go check it out. Gene Money versus Rishi Ghosh from Riptide. So funny. Okay, well, that is all of our matches this week, so that brings us to the Double Down.
The Double Down.
It's now time to find out if the match was, you know, actually good or bad. I don't know. It's time for the Double Down.
This is the segment of the show where me and Zach flashback to last week and take a look at matches from each other's perspectives. Zach, why don't you kick us off with the Double Down, because my throat hurts.
Yeah, okay. I'm down for that. All right, you gave me Jimmy Lloyd versus Orin Vate, or Vite, at H2O Wrestling.
Right, the death match.
The light tube match.
Yeah.
This match was an extravaganza of blood and glass, which is about what I was expecting for this match.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. I mean, you already went through a lot of these spots, but I'll go through some of the stuff that I thought of this match that was good. The first spot where Vite goes through the glass was basically how you described it. He went into the glass face first and went, ooh, that looked like it sucked. And I looked and I was like, okay, he's not too bad. And then like 2 seconds later, his arm is just fucking ripped.
It's like, where'd that come from?
It's like, oh shit, that is just okay. I also then realized how dangerously close everyone in the crowd was. And I was like, y'all bet must have wanted some glass in your face or something like that. Because that's...
You know, you know who had like the soul read and like the secret strat?
Who?
That kid in the front with the full zip up hoodie.
Yeah, I saw that the kid
with the hood that even zipped. I was like, that's the tech,
dude. There's like a piece of glass I think that hit him in the like his hood thing, and I was like, that kid, you smart, you are smart.
That was the big brain play that day, going into a front row in a death match.
Oh my god. Let's see. What's another spot that really...
The kid woke up, looked in the mirror, and went, this is what you call a pro gamer move.
I love memes, and I love when memes like... love memes. Especially that one. I can just hear him say that in my head. This is what I call a pro gamer move.
It just zips the hoodie all the way up.
Now I'm thinking Markiplier saying, it's big brain time now.
Yeah, it's big brain time. It's another one. Anyway, back to the match.
All right. I was actually really impressed at how well executed a lot of these spots were. Like, one of them that I really liked was when Vite, I keep thinking it's Vite, but I'm pretty sure it's Vite.
It's Vite, yeah.
Vite did, like, this DDT on Lloyd from the apron onto three light tubes head first, and he actually hit all three light tubes, like, Jimmy Lloyd's head on all three light tubes. I remember thinking to myself,
nailed it.
Damn, that is a really high margin for error, especially because there's three light tubes and that's it. And, like, granted, you probably would have broken them on your back, but still, that you did it. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's pretty good. They were pretty pinpoint accurate with their moves in this one.
Like one thing I will say is that while the spots didn't always work as intended, sometimes I did appreciate they tried to get creative with light tubes for this match, and not just hitting each other over the head. Because I've seen matches where like the gimmick match is like a chair match, and like I've seen like a instance where it wasn't very creative, and one where it was like, oh, all right, they actually set the chairs up. So when they started putting the light tubes on each other's, like, chests and hitting them, it didn't always pop, but I was like, when it worked, I was like, you know what? That's awesome. I like that. I'll take it. Nice. Simple. I'm a simple man. I like that.
I'm a simple man. I like creative uses of light tubes.
Yeah, exactly.
it was solid.
Of course, I would be reminiscent and not talk about the insane chair spot where Lloyd hit the spinning neckbreaker onto Vite onto the chair he was standing on.
Oh yeah, that was
fucking
sweet.
Awesome. Love that shit. At that, this is one of the many points where I realized how much Vite was bleeding for this match, because I remember when Vite entered this ring and I saw his tights were white, I was like, oh boy, those are going to be pink when this match is over, and I was not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This man's arm was literally red at the end of this match.
I love when deathmatch wrestlers wear, like, all white, and then they come out and they're all red.
He didn't have a shirt on either. Like, Lloyd was all, like, geared up, had, like, knee pads, pants, boots, shorts, he had a shirt on, and like this, and then Vite just showed up, and he's like, I'm gonna do this bare chest with white pants.
That's coming into a death match with no shirt on is like a flex, right? It's like, that's like showing your opponent, like, yeah, do whatever you want.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Like, a tough person right there.
Exactly. Speaking of punishment, Vite then immediately took a burning hammer rib first onto two set-up chairs right after the spot, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, you're just dying for this match.
Yeah, Vite went all out for this one. Vite took some crazy bumps.
Yes, he did. Let's see. Let's put up another spot up here that I like, that I really like for this match. Vite goes to set up for the usual monkey flip spot where, like, he has Lloyd on, like, he's got their hands intertwined. He picks him up by his feet, and then he just gets up, flips, and does a Canadian Destroyer to Lloyd. And then I love how, as he's like, yeah, that was awesome, Lloyd just kind of gets up like the Undertaker in like the match, flips him off, and then just hits him with a light tube assisted dragon suplex in homage to Danny Havoc.
That was sweet.
That was a really good looking spot. One of the examples of the light tube where I was like, see, that is a really good use of a light tube, and it was executed well, though I'm pretty sure Vite's head went a little bit too far back on the mat, and I was like, ooh, you... That is some dangerous stuff.
That was close.
You just grazed it there.
So now that you mentioned that, I wanted to talk about that real quick. I wanted to talk about how that's one thing that almost took me out of this match a little bit, was Jimmy Lloyd constantly rolling through moves.
Oh, yeah. That is true, yeah. I remember thinking to myself by the end of this match, I'm like, this is a very Jimmy Lloyd dominated match.
Yeah, I feel like there was parts where it was like, okay, Jimmy, you could have stayed down for that one.
Probably.
Like, there was a spot where he takes, like, the DVD onto the chairs, rolls mm-hmm. through, and then hit Vite with the burning hammer onto the chairs. Yeah. It was like, all right, listen, Jimmy.
This man's you're dying
great,
here.
But, like, he's dying for you. You gotta die for him, too. I mean, gotta help him out a little bit.
Speaking of which, was a spot that Jimmy probably didn't love to take the spot was when Vite hit the running assault driver into the corner of light tubes onto Jimmy.
Yeah.
Looked gnarly. That was another point in this match where I realized, oh my god, there's literally glass sticking on his arm because of how much blood is on him right now. Like, there was blood literally. Like,
everywhere.
If you saw blood on this match, it was very likely Vite's. Might have been a bit of Jimmy's. But mostly was Vite's.
It was mostly Vite's, yeah. Like, he was bleeding from that shoulder.
I shit you not, there's a point in the match where his arm is just red. So there's not even, like, it's like, oh, it's cut open. It's like, no, it's just a red arm now.
It's wild. He that first light tube spot really messed him up.
Yeah, it did, and he didn't help himself with all the other spots, along with the finish, where he took the goddamn inverted power slam into a pile driver off the top rope through the barbed wire table Arizona green tea cans on a table, which was a door, too.
Yeah.
That was...
Like, I've seen a lot of things in deathmatch wrestling. The cut in half Arizona green tea cans was a new one.
That was a new one for me. I also, it was really nice too. It went off without a hitch. Like, the table just broke right through. Barbed wire went across. Didn't get caught in anyone's arm.
Yeah. Good.
I will say though, there were some spots here that didn't like hit or almost botch, like that tombstone you talked about. Which I was like,
that was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I was like, oof. But you could tell the two of them were really trying their damnedest to put on a good show.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, yeah, props to them. Especially Vite, though. For me, like, I was like, I came out of this match thinking to myself, damn, Vite fucking died for this match. I'll watch another Vite match, honestly, just because this man he went through so much pain that he did not need to go through.
Yeah, Vite took a beating.
He probably could have taken the light tube spot and, like, the chair spot and been done, but instead he was like, nah, put me through that table, dude.
Yeah, Vite was like, kill me.
Exactly. Overall, though, I like this match. I give this match a high meh, because I feel like I've seen better death matches.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, one that comes to mind for me is the Matt Tremont match at the Collective that we watched. I love that match.
That match was bonkers.
Was bonkers, and also had a lot of light tubes, too.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah, it was a good match.
That was Tremont's last match, right? That's why it was
at
so
GCW,
good. It was a big retirement match.
That was his retirement match for GCW, I believe.
Man, we watched those guys go off of the out of the stands through doors.
yeah, I think that
match was insane.
That was a great match.
Yeah,
that was also a great match. Two jerseys.
You want to hear more about that? Go check out the Independent Waters episode from the Collective featuring Ryan Knightsey from Hit the Books.
Yeah, and if you want, you can watch the vlog to hear our immediate thoughts right after that match.
Yeah, it's on our YouTube channel, countoutpod.com.
Ah, yes. Good times when you come home with your friends at, like, 2 in the morning after watching two men almost kill themselves with light tubes and barbed wire and chairs.
And then we had a whole other show after that!
Yeah, we did. Good night.
Let's get into my Double Down match. You gave me Marcella versus La Amapola.
Yes, I remember
from
this match.
From Ring of Honor.
I'm curious to see what you thought of this match.
Honestly, I don't have much to say, mostly because, like, A, because we talked about that last one for so long,
yeah,
and B, because there, for me, it wasn't really anything mind-blowing or exciting or, like, crazy spots to talk about.
Mm.
This match was just some good, classic wrestling.
Mm.
Like, yeah. It was like a classic wrestling match, you know? Like, it was a lot of the fundamentals, a lot, like, some good chain wrestling. Some interesting spots here and there. No, like I said, nothing crazy mind blowing though. Nothing like absolutely blew me away that like mm-hmm. that I really like was like, oh man, I need to talk about that. There was like none of that.
Mm.
It was like a good old fashioned lucha match is what it felt like.
Correctly, the thing I really liked about this match was A, the crowd.
Yes, the crowd was hot.
And B, I think I remember if I'm right thinking this remember this correctly. Because of how their ages, I was just sitting there, like, sitting to myself thinking, damn, for that age, for you to pull off that move that well, that's, for me, that was impressive. At least that's how I think I recall.
Like, so I was. Oh, yeah, it was impressive. Yeah, like they said, did a good job. It was a good match. There was nothing wrong with the match. Like I said, it was just a classic good wrestling match. Like, they did a lot of good old spots. Like, just
want to make sure I was remembering that correctly. My bad, though.
Yeah, no, you're good. It's just like, it was just like the roots, you know, like mm-hmm. those wrestling roots is what, like, came out.
Yeah.
Is what it felt like this match. And, you know, it was good. Like, it was not terrible. There was no, like, insane botches to talk about. Like, Thank God. It was a little slow, but that's understandable.
Yeah.
There was definitely parts where you could see them getting ready for the next spot.
Oh, yeah.
But it was good, nonetheless. They still put on a good show. I'm just gonna give this one a meh, just, like, easy.
Yeah.
Just, like, right in the middle.
Yeah,
it's, like, not... It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't mind-blowing.
Yeah, I think...
It was fine.
Yeah, I believe I had the same feeling for it, and I think I gave it the... I feel like I either gave it the meh or I gave it the high meh just because I was like, I'll give it for them for the crowd and just the fact that the two of them put up a good match, and I wasn't expecting as good of a match from the two of them just from appearance points of view.
Yeah, that's fair.
A certain mainstream production that's called WWE has scarred me on what older people can do.
A certain mainstream production.
I've been scarred to see older people put on matches where I was like, ooh, you, you should be wrestling right now.
Goldberg, what?
Oh, where's that?
Who was that? I didn't say anything. Almost, No, it wasn't. No, I wasn't referencing any particular bald guy. Anyway,
not at all.
Anyway, that's the double down. That about wraps it up for the show. We now it's time for the plugs,
all right,
of course.
Come on, you got this, dude. You got this.
All right, let me stretch it out first. Here we go. So, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for listening. You can remember to go give this episode a 5-star rating over on iTunes. It helps a podcast like ourselves grow and get to more audiences. We would love to hear what you guys think about the show. And if you want to share your thoughts with us and the world and the wrestling world and the world in general, go follow us on Twitter over at CountOutPod, where we just share basically all of our thoughts going through our heads. Or stuff that's happening in the wrestling world, blah, blah, blah. You can interact with us. And you can also vote in the polls for our show that happens every Friday called Hit the Books, where me and Ryan Knightsey, book SmackDown and Raw every week. We're inching ever closer to our Royal Rumble pay-per-view special. So go check it out over there. We're very excited. That's going to be a great pay-per-view. I'm super excited for that, to book that. And every Thursday as well, go check out How to Talk to Your Friends About Wrestling, our new show here on the Count Out Network. Amanda and Ashley go over all things wrestling. And their most recent episode, they did a book report on Randy Savage, so go check that out when you get the chance. Very informative, very cool. You're going to love that show as well. And I'm gonna sneak in a little personal plug here. Go check out twitch.tv/sigiledscryfish. I started streaming recently. I've been doing a Pokemon Shield Nuzlocke, so if you're into that, go check that out over at twitch.tv/sigiledscryfish. And back to the podcast plugs. Go check out countoutpod.com for everything that has to do with the Countout Network. Whether it's shows, if you want to learn a little bit about us, the hosts of the shows, everything that has to do with the Countout Network is on that website, so go check it out over there. And go check out our YouTube channel, which we mentioned a little earlier, so I won't get too deep into that. Countout Wrestling Podcast Network over on YouTube. We have a ton of video content over there that I think you'll love. I think that's everything. Oh, go check out G1 and Only every other Monday, Ryan's show about the G1 Supercard, where he talks about people who have been in the G1 Supercard one time and one time only. His most recent episode features Buff Bagwell and what was it? Fake Razor Ramon. Anyway, his new episode features Buff Bagwell. If you're into the G1 Supercard, go check that out. Very cool, very documentary style podcast. You go learn yourself a thing about Japanese wrestling, and the people involved. I think you'll really like that. Okay, now that's all the plugs out of the way. Zach, you got anything, bud?
Nope.
Didn't think so. Let's close out the show by saying, remember, there's a gigantic sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.